We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Tuesday, October 26th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Gill, and this is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. We're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We are back to talk about the NFL, where the favorites keep winning. The big favorites, especially Gabe, keep winning. Uh-huh. Chiefs struggling. There's a number one team atop the AFC that we did not expect. And we're going to talk a little Larry David. I'm almost done with Curb from the other night, but we also have some fun Larry David sound here that backs up Gabe for some reason. Not good to that Gabe gets a win on this podcast. But nonetheless, how are you, Gabe? You recover from your mini triathlon.
It's not a mini triathlon, Jeff. Listeners of this show will know I will not put up with that slander. It was a full man's distance triathlon. I finished fourth in my age group. Show me the respect I deserve, Jeff. We're both athletes on this podcast.
I was thinking that swimming for 15 minutes just sounds like experience this body's not built for. So I do congratulate you on that. And let's get right into it.
Yeah, listen, some of the best athletes in the world are not me or you, but Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase got the better of the Ravens yesterday. So you mentioned a second ago, I guess the Bengals are really good. They're the one seed in the AFC North. They're the currently, at least based on tie breaks, the one seed in all of the AFC. Today will be the best day of the year in Cincinnati, maybe the decade in Cincinnati, because guess what, Jeff? Despite all the love that all the morning shows are giving them, this isn't going to last. The take is, have fun while it lasts, Cincy. It's about to be over. Peek at the schedule.
Yeah, it's probably not going to last, but they do deserve credit for getting to where they are. And look, you obviously win the games in front of you. But I think first off, look, we argued very heavily on this show about drafting Penei Sewell over Ja'Marr Chase. And so far, we have been very wrong about that, right? Ja'Marr Chase has transformed this offense and his ability to obviously get the ball downfield. And there has, I think I saw the stat that before, I guess last season, Joe Burrow did not complete one pass over 30 yards, air yards, and now he has like six to Ja'Marr Chase this year. And we saw him obviously break the long run yesterday, and Marlon Humphrey is still healthy for the Ravens, and he was destroying Marlon Humphrey yesterday. And the offensive line is okay. I mean, they're rated 21st in pass protection by Pro Football Focus, but they're good enough. They're good enough for Burrow to get the ball out and really make a difference in what he can do with which I was wrong on that one. Again, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, Penei Sewell turns into an all pro and we look at it differently. But for right now, it seems very clear that the right move was taking Ja'Marr Chase. And again, transforming this offense and making Zach Taylor a better play caller, making Joe Burrow a little more confident in his abilities and getting the ball out quickly. But Gabe, really the story, in my opinion, is beyond that, right? Their defense right now is fifth in efficiency. They're doing some good things defensively. They shut down Baltimore yesterday, though it did appear that the injuries for the Ravens are sort of finally starting to catch up a little bit, right? I mean, you have 16 guys in injured reserve. Another offensive lineman, I think, got hurt during the game. You know, it's tough to continue to win at that level. Now, you mentioned the schedule for the Bengals. They have the Jets. They should beat the Jets.
Yeah. Okay?
Then they have the Browns at the Raiders. And the back half of the schedule is tougher, right? Steelers, Chargers, Niners, Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, Browns. So get all your wins in now. And you should be a playoff team. I mean, you start 5-2. I don't know how you're not, which is a pretty big shock to a lot of us.
I think let's give them 6-2 right now.
Are you sure about that? Mike White for your Jets might get it done.
Oh God. Let's just give them 6-2 and say, we agree that it's going to take probably 11 wins in that division. We think that the Ravens are going to keep winning games, even if they dump this one.
Yeah, I'm talking about just from a playoff perspective,
right?
Just getting into the playoff, the Bengals probably get in as a 6 or 7 seed if they don't win the division.
Yeah, I think they probably don't end up winning the division, but they can get in as a 6 or 7 seed. But that's going to take, I think, 11 wins. With the Raiders and Chargers out there, I mean, I guess you're about to tell me you're giving up on the Chiefs. That's the next topic that we're going to get to. Like, you really think they can get in with 10 wins?
Probably, yeah. I mean, 10 wins feels like, especially in this year when there's not dominant teams, that 10 wins could be enough to get you in there. But again, I mean, they're far better than I expected. They're far better than anyone who's not in Cincinnati expected. And the staff deserves credit for winning the games on their schedule, obviously. And this is a big win in Baltimore. To win in Baltimore, the way they did it, they grinded them down at the end. Ja'Marr Chase making plays. Defensively, they stifled Lamar Jackson. It was nowhere to run, nowhere to move. They hit Lamar. They pressured him. It was a very impressive performance.
All right. So you mentioned the staff. So Zach Taylor obviously deserves some amount of credit. But let's come back to this wide receiver quarterback combo, because I think a lot of the take makers out there today are going crazy with this basic idea. Yeah, I mean, they played together at LSU. Of course they're great. You know, this is all Joe Burrow needed. That was the whole logic that all of us dopes used. Can you just tell me how real that actually is? Or is it just that Ja'Marr Chase is great and this offense is pretty well designed?
I would say that it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think the chemistry is there, obviously, for when they played together at LSU. Is it the only reason why? No, I think they're both very good. And again, they complement each other well. Burrow can throw the ball very accurately deep. He can get the ball into him in tight spaces, and Ja'Marr Chase can do the rest. And so they match up very well. Do I think it didn't hurt that they played together in college, but it's not the reason why. If you look at overall reasons why they're successful, then that's not the reason why. Ja'Marr Chase is a baller.
I mean, and it seems, I'm going to steal a term I hadn't heard before. I heard Alex Smith using over on ESPN. Tell me if this sounds right. He basically kept saying that Ja'Marr Chase can uncover himself. I don't even know how to say it properly, that he gets uncovered. He basically is always open. So I don't think that you need chemistry or feel. If a guy just has a step on his defender, throw it to him, right?
Yeah, correct. But I do think that sometimes that chemistry is important in pressure situations, in situations where the ball's got to be out quick. Ja'Marr Chase knowing the ball's going to get to him quickly. Maybe there's times when he throws the ball to a different spot on his body, depending on where the defender is. And if Ja'Marr kind of knows that, right? He feels, okay, got a defender here. I know he's going to hit me on this shoulder right here. That stuff is where it matters. To your point, though, he's uncoverable. He's able to get out of press coverage very quickly. And it makes him very tough to defend because you want to get in his face. He's not a big-bodied wide receiver. You want to try to get in his face, get your hands on him, but he's avoiding those early hands on his body, and he's making it very tough for defenders once again in trail. He's too fast.
Jeff, it's not just him. I mean, like, Mixon looked awesome. T. Higgins is still out there. The tight end. I mean, yeah. I think yesterday was National Tight End Day. If I heard that correctly.
Well, they definitely made sure on the highlights we knew that.
Oh, okay. Did they mention that a lot? That got beat to death. Well, Uzomah looked
about 1,000
great.
Times.
He looked awesome. I know every fantasy league in America has him on waiver now. You know, it seemed. I mean, I paid attention to T. Higgins. He had like 11 targets, barely any catches or yards. But it seems like they're throwing it 9,000 times in this offense. You know. It doesn't mean it's just those two guys. A team with this many weapons and a defense that, as you said, is better than we expected. Yeah. But I can't see them actually winning against that schedule.
This is why I made the point that they should go for Penei Sewell, because they already have weapons on their roster. They already have those guys, and those guys are still playing well. But again, Ja'Marr Chase is just able to make more plays down the field than any of the guys they have. And do I think they win with Penei Sewell? Yes. But Ja'Marr Chase, again, has transformed this offense into a high power explosive play offense because of his ability to break tackles and beat press coverage and, you know, and hit those deep passes. So, yeah, they have a lot of weapons, man. And their offensive line, again, is okay. You know, it seems to be that in 2021, look, as much as I love offensive lines, it seems like you just need to have it's like the sum of your parts is more important than maybe individual players, right? Like if you're just an average offensive line, you're good. If you're a offensive line with like two Pro Bowlers and three duds, that's worse, right? I mean, you're just not going to be as good. So the Bengals are getting a passable grade from their offense. I don't think it's great. It might not even be good, but they're good enough that Burrow can get the ball out.
Well, Jeff, you just gave me my segue to the next topic, okay? Which is a team with a cobbled together line that really isn't what you just described as good enough in the Chiefs, your Chiefs. I would like someone to sound the panic meter. Can we have the guys at John Oliver doing a now this and have everyone in all of sports media say panic meter, panic meter, panic meter over and over again? It's all I've heard all Monday morning is time for the panic meter. I'm not asking you that. I've already asked you that. Nick Wright said it best. Do they even practice in Kansas City? They don't look like they practice, Jeff.
The spoiled nature of Chiefs fans today is on full display. I hate to question fandom because I know there are fans that are very passionate Chiefs fans, but guys, get a grip, please, okay? Entering this game, they were number one in the NFL in points per drive. They're number one in the NFL in points per scoring opportunity. They're number one in the NFL in basically getting a first down before third down, right? So getting a lot of yards on first and second down. Even after this game, they're still a top in a lot of those categories. You know, here's a stat here. The best offense is converting first downs into new series, okay? Number one in the history of the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs of 2021. The offense is still good. They had a bad football game. They played poorly. It happens. People play poorly in the NFL. It's a tough job. It's a tough business. The offensive line had been fine until yesterday. They had a bad game. Okay. But the problem is the bad game happened when you now have four losses in seven games and the panic is full on. Here's what's happening offensively. We've talked about this in various stages over the last year, basically, right? Like last half of last season into now. Teams are playing the Chiefs in two high and two man. They're not letting them beat them with explosive play. So two high and two man is basically two safeties deep, right? You play underneath coverage, either in man coverage or zone coverage. And they're rushing four. I think the Titans splits all of one time yesterday. They're rushing four. And they're daring Pat Mahomes to dink and dunk them. They're saying, hey, Pat, we don't think you're patient enough to throw the ball 7 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, and just slowly go down the field. And sometimes he's not. And I praised him earlier this season. I thought they were doing better at that earlier this season, being better at just taking what the defense gives them. But yesterday, it kind of reverted back to otherwise, right? I mean, the offensive line wasn't great, but Pat was running out of that pocket very quickly a lot of times. And there were plays to be made. Not just me. We saw Matt Bowen of ESPN talk about this. We saw Mike Renner at Pro Football Focus talk about this. It's not just me, offensive lineman, talking about this, right? There needs to be a better balance between that. And to me, it's about the offensive unit pressing, right? If you are the offense and you have a three and out and you punt the ball and your defense immediately allows another touchdown, you're like, ah, shit, we got to score next time, right? Like, we got to do everything we can to score, and slowly going down the field is not really the formula for that, right? It's not the formula for, like, let's keep pace with the other team. It can be the formula, and it actually is, but the mindset of the player is not that way, right? The mindset is, oh my God, I got to make some plays because our defense can't hold up. And the Chiefs' defense is playing better, actually. It's not good, but it's better than it was the first couple weeks of the season. And so that's what I see in offense. I just see an offense pressing, just not taking what's there. And that in my opinion, gets fixed pretty easily. The best way to fix this team is stop turning the freaking ball over. 17 turnovers so far this year. That's more than two of the last three seasons and one less than last season. Like, they're turning the ball over at an alarming rate, Gabe, which is incredible. I tweeted out, I can't recall an offense that is so good with this high turnover margin. People tweeted back saying the fastest show on turf, the Rams 99-2001, had the most points per scoring opportunity and led the league in drives that ended in a turnover. If they just turn that around, they go from 17 turnovers. So what's that? That's like, what, three a game, something like that. And they end up going from that to one a game, half a game, well, you can't get a half turnover, but you know what I mean? 1-0, they're going to be fine. And the people that are panicking, they're jumping off the ship, just take a deep breath. The standard, I know, is very high in Kansas City, as it should be. It's very high. But you have ups and downs in the NFL season. You have ebbs and flows. It's hard to win so many years in a row, right? The Chiefs deserve the high praise and the high expectations. They've been in three straight AFC Championship games, but been two straight Super Bowls. It's hard to keep winning and winning and winning the National Football League. Sometimes you take a step back, and it feels like Kansas City has taken a little bit of a step back. I'll end with this. I think that it's overlooked how poorly the Chiefs have drafted. I wrote an article for Fox Sports about this. You know, there's just a talent depletion on the roster right now. If you look at the drafts after Mahomes in 17, 18, 19, they've added some guys back in 20 and 21. The Frank Clark trade extension was horrific for them. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a bad draft pick. They just don't have as much talent anymore. And Pat Mahomes typically covered up for that, for the lack of talent and some warts on the team. And right now he's not doing that. So everything is exacerbated and looks a lot worse.
So Jeff, I think what you're trying to say is that you agree with Michael Irvin, who went on First Take and said the Chiefs dynasty is over. Am I hearing you correctly?
What
your
dynasty? They won one Super Bowl. What's he talking about?
I don't know. I thought not be what you took issue with,
It's over. Look, I go back to this. The Chiefs, the year they won the Super Bowl, was 6-4. Remember Tampa Bay last year in the game on Thursday Night Football when Tom Brady put the four up, thinking it was fourth down, but it was actually already fourth down. We all mocked them, and their offensive line didn't play well that game. We all, ha ha ha, look at Tom Brady. They won the Super Bowl. The year before that, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Are you telling me, if you are the Titans, let's say, or Buffalo, or the Bengals, or whoever else is the 1, 2, or 3 seed, and in strolls Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are the 7 seed, are you excited for the football game? Are you? Do you think to yourself, you know what? Oh, dynasty's over, guys. It's the Chiefs. Like, they're over. We're going to smash them. No. Just take a deep breath. The Chiefs, they might not be fine. I don't know. I will go on the side of they're a veteran squad who will figure it out. They're going through a rough patch. It just happens that the standard is so high, right? That any time that it's not met, Gabe, we look at it as a giant failure. And it reminds me, and again, this is a much smaller scale, of every time the Patriots struggled with Tom Brady. Remember, it was like, oh my God, that's it. They're done. And you're like, 3 weeks later, they're again back in the number one seed. And Chiefs are not getting the number one seed. But are you telling me the AFC right now is scary? I mean, who is a scary team? There's no Tampa Bay in the AFC. There's no Arizona Cardinals right now in the AFC. All the top teams have two losses. Well, the Bengals, I think everyone has two, right? Yeah, the Ravens, Bengals, Bills, Titans, all have two losses.
Yeah, they've also all beaten the Chiefs, that's just also, so you know.
Except the, that's a problem, right? They have not beaten, they beat one out of five potential playoff teams.
Yeah, and so they basically, if by my math, would have to go 8-2 down the stretch, which I'm not betting against the Chiefs going 8-2, but that's kind of what it looks like it will take for them to get in as a wild card. Maybe they could still win the division if they go 8-2. I mean, that might do the job.
Well, they have five division games left, so if they go 8-2 and they win those division games, then yes, they win the division.
Then they would probably win the division. Yeah. All right, so let's talk Mahomes for a second. Okay. It was kind of a scary scene. As he took like a weird knee to the face and head. He looked pretty woozy. You know, the reports will keep getting updated throughout the week. Latest I heard was expected to play, but man, he didn't look great at the end of that game. So what are your thoughts on him?
I think he's fine. They said he cleared concussion protocol and was and a coach decision not to put him back in the game.
Okay. Well, that's a relief because he definitely looked knocked out.
It looked bad. Yeah. He got a knee right to the face. You know, it's so interesting how, you know, depending on who the quarterback is, the reaction on social media, like that was a legal play. Nothing. It was sucky for Mahomes, but it was a legal play. There's no penalty on that play. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. That was just one of those fluky things. It's a dangerous game. We've talked about this a few times before. I got to ask again, are we sure? He's now leading the league in interceptions. He's tied with Zach Wilson, who is himself a walking dumpster fire. Pat Mahomes should not be leading any league at any point in interceptions, and yet he is. Are you worried that maybe he is not doing something right, that there is like an actual systematic flaw moving forward with this guy? Or is it just the way the ball bounced a few times?
I just kind of mentioned it a little bit, right? Like, I think that, look, there's this talk on social media about turnover-worthy plays. And there's a video that was floating around this offseason. And it was a horrendous video as far as, like, half the plays weren't interception-worthy, turnover-worthy plays. There's less than we think. I mean, less than the video says, probably more than you guys think. And all the turnover-worthy plays this year are turnovers. They're all turning into turnovers. Turnovers a lot of times, guys... Yes, they're skilled by the defender, right? And you know, being able to pull a fumble out and being able to knock the ball out, you know, the peanut Tillman, right? You punch the ball out. That takes skill. That's a skill. But then when the ball's on the ground bouncing around, that's kind of just luck. Right? Like some days you have the luck, some days you don't. And part of it sometimes is an offensive lineman is hustling down the field and he just falls on the ball, right? Or the ball squirts out somewhere. Interception, right? You know, the ball hits guys in a face mask and pops up in the air. And so, like, it, so they're, there can be bad luck. And again, they're not going to turn the ball over this. They're not going to end the season with 40 turnovers, Gabe. They're not going to end with 40 turnovers. So I think it will calm down a little bit, and that changes the entire offense.
All right, fair enough. Other people woke up Monday morning, and the big lesson they learned from that game was, oh, man, the Titans. Vrabel's coaching up this squad. These guys can play. Derrick Henry's the MVP. They're 5-2. They just beat the Bills and the Chiefs. The Titans, the Titans, the Titans. Guys, I can't unsee that Jets loss. You cannot convince me the Titans are for real, no matter who they beat. And sorry, Jeff, I'm putting them in our team that shall not be named that plays in Indianapolis bucket. I don't want to talk about the Titans.
Yeah,
I don't care.
They don't strike me as a Super Bowl championship team or caliber team. I think they're a very good team. There's still flaws on defense that kind of concern me. And by the way, Derrick Henry had what in this game? 87 yards, something like that. 89 yards.
It wasn't his best game after a world beating weekend last week.
Had, you know, no, with no points the second half of this game. So obviously they might have been coasting at the end. They're a good football team. I don't think they're a threat to win the AFC conference.
Okay. So you're saying that Mike Vrabel does not need a good urologist to prepare him for the removal of a body part.
No, he does. He needs a moil in his services.
Oh, fair enough.
Not need a moil. That's the worst thing to watch. I can't believe we have to in traditions. You have to watch that happen.
Ugh. I think good portion of our audience is totally confused. And to be honest, Jeff, I don't really want to be the one to fill them in on what a moil does and what they'd be watching.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know.
Fair enough. Tom Brady. Yep. It's in the rundown. This is not a democracy. So my opinion doesn't matter. I have to talk to you about Tom Brady now. He's padding his stats shamelessly in an attempt to create even more ceremonies for himself. This week, the all-time touchdown leader threw for his 600th touchdown. A totally meaningless piece of information, except that all of sports media falls for it and pretends like 600 matters. So now, you know, here he is with this big thing. He's already the leader. What does it matter if he gets to 600, 700, 800? Who cares? It's just a number. They don't have a secondary. This isn't going to last. Enjoy it while you can. Padden your sets. Reminds me of 2007. Do all that you want in the regular season. Break all the records. Your team isn't good enough to win another Super Bowl, Tom Brady. And we'll get to that stupid 600 ball soon. But they're not champs. I can see it.
Gabe, you're doing what everyone else does.
What am I doing?
And I've done this too. We count out Tom Brady.
I'm counting out his secondary.
And I don't know what it is about the teams he plays on. I've never played on this team before. And maybe I never even asked anyone who's played for Tom Brady. Maybe I should ask someone. I know we had Ryan Jensen on. Maybe I'll talk to Ryan Jensen, their center. I don't know what it is. I do know that when you play with a top quarterback, I play with Alex Smith, Eli Manning, I play good quarterbacks, that there is a sense of confidence on your team because you know that any given moment, if you screw up, your quarterback can make you right, right? If the defense doesn't play well, guess what? Tom Brady will score enough points for us. If the offense isn't playing well, Tom will make that throw in the fourth quarter for us, right? There's a certain level of confidence that you have with a guy like Tom Brady because everywhere he's been, the teams have played better. Like Bill Belichick, guys, didn't forget how to coach, but now that Tom's not there, he's more conservative now, right? He's not going for a fourth down anymore. They're just not as dynamic anymore. The defense is not as good anymore, even though they put up an ungodly amount of points on the Jets. I had to look at my screen. I said, 56 points in NFL, 56, 54 points in NFL game. I was floored by that, but he just has this way of rallying his team. I don't know how you can ever count them out. Yes, they have injuries. They do, but they have the AFC East is their division to play in the AFC. So that's like at least three wins, right? Three or four wins. They have the NFC South. The Panthers do not look good anymore. The Falcons aren't very good. They don't have a first place schedule. So they play like, who's the crossover game in their schedule? The Rams, who they lost to, was a crossover game. And I think it ends up being the Cowboys, who they beat, was their crossover. No, the Cowboys are NFCs. There's one other game in here. I'm too stupid looking. Oh, the Bears. The Bears were was crossover game. So they have an easy schedule, man. They're going to win a lot of football games. They're going to be the one seed again. Not again, but they will be the one seed.
Uh-huh.
And they'll be the favorite.
Cool. So he'll get 56 touchdown passes. They'll have a whole bunch more ceremonies. They'll win 13, 14, 15 games even. But guess what? Then you got Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers and Kyler Murray throwing it all over that stupid secondary. Look, I obviously want to believe Tom Brady can't win.
We thought so. Well, we thought so last year that they were going to run. The Packers were going to throw all over them. They just didn't.
Yeah. Well, the refs had something to do with that one.
Of course, always the refs' fault.
Well, you know, Tom Brady has a lucky way of always having refs on his side. Also, by the way, the other thing that you didn't mention: when you have a great quarterback, you just know he can do something. Yeah, when you have a great quarterback who knows the plays the other defense is running, yeah, that helps too. When you have a quarterback who can doctor up the ball the way he wants it, that kind of has something to do with it. When the quarterback and the coach can listen into the other team's locker room, that kind of maybe also plays a factor, but that's for another podcast.
So the cheating in Tampa Bay too?
I would imagine that he's brought a few tricks. It seems reasonable.
Okay. That's a reasonable take.
Here's a reasonable take. So he throws this pointless 600th touchdown. Nobody knows that's even a thing, including Mike Evans, who always nicely gives the ball to a fan. He gives the ball to a fan and then later finds out, whoopsie daisy, the boss wanted to keep that one so he could put it in his personal trophy shelf or maybe bring it to Canton one day. So they had to go back and get the ball from the fan who Evans had given it to. And that's when the story gets interesting, because Tom Brady, it turns out, not just a cheater, also a cheapskate. Listen to this.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. He's going to get something nice in return. So we'll get him a helmet or a couple jerseys or some other stuff. So it was really cool of him to do that.
Jeff, this thing is worth probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, because there's a lot of suckers out there who care about Tom Brady's stats. Signed helmet, a ticket to a game, a jersey. What are we talking about? That's all you get? Tom Brady's not willing to give you more than that?
They have reported that this is worth at least $500,000. The ball is.
Oh, cool. Well, this guy got some seats and a signed helmet, I think.
He got $1,000 to spend in the Tampa Bay gift shop.
He could buy a Tom Brady jersey.
Yeah, you want a Tom Brady jersey. Yeah, not a great trade for this fella, right? He needs a little bit more for that. Tom got off a fresh one here, because this guy should ask for cold, hard cash to pry that football out of his dead hands.
I mean, why not just be a nice guy about this and just say, hey, buddy, you really hooked me up here. Like, here's a hell of a lot more than just
Tony Romo said on the broadcast. You should get a date with Giselle. This is
Tony Romo's testing the limits over there at CBS to find out what they'll put up with.
I think they were at some point. Romo just seemed very bored because it was like 38-3 for most of the fourth quarter. Okay. But yeah, I mean, look, rich people, man, they don't spend their money sometimes. They're going to spend the money on things they like, mm-hmm. and they're going to be cheapskates otherwise. And he's being cheap here. I agree with you.
All right, good. Well, then we agreed on one thing that's very important about Tom Brady. I talked about Rodgers and Stafford, a couple of the other old guys who I think are just going to play into the 2030s. Rodgers wins again. They look great. You know, I don't know what to make of the DC defense. They're just not what we thought they were going to be.
I'm very upset with this game.
Oh, another one that you lost a bet on?
Well, I had Washington plus 8.5 or 8. They had the ball four times inside the 20 in the second half and had 3 points.
Yeah. No, they stink. I think it's officially a missed year for them. So yeah. We didn't learn anything new about Rodgers other than that he seems to care more than any of expected. You can't count them out. Matt Stafford, in the reunion game with Detroit, probably too much made of that, but puts up a bunch more numbers. He and Cooper Kupp look like everything like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase look like. Are we learning anything new about them this week?
No, I mean, we're learning the Rams are what they are. They're really good. And I know they played down to Lions. But remember last year in the same spot, they lost to the Jets. Do you remember that? That was supposed to be an easy win for the Rams. Lost the Jets. Dude, the Lions are a feisty team, man. They are a feisty 0-7 team.
I'm so I like sick the of Lions. Hearing this, man. All you football guys say this kind of crap. Like they're, oh man, they were in it. They were. I was gutsy. Yeah. The fake punts and the kicks. They lost the game. They suck. They keep losing games they should win. What is so special about that? If they're 1-7 or 1-6, nobody would compliment them at all.
Grit. It's grit and toughness. Grit.
Yeah. Okay. They're gritty.
Did you see, I think Hank texted to us, or Nick maybe did, that Goff is 0-14 with anyone else other than Sean McVay?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not, I think I texted it, and he is not good, it turns out, at playing quarterback. And I don't know if he ever will be. His coach threw him under the bus, people said, last week. I don't know if it made any difference for him this week. I think we're seeing like full meltdown and rebuild in Detroit again, right? I mean, this is the only way this can go.
Well, they need a quarterback. The problem is this draft is not very quarterback friendly. So they might have to wait one more year for that. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll see what they do about that. I don't really want to talk about the Lions. I do want to go back to the two other great teams in the NFC, though. The Cards, who we barely talked about so far, undefeated still. Easy win this weekend. And the Packers, they play on Thursday. Interesting question for you in moving the line. That's our over-under segment. We'll do that on the other side of a quick break. We'll come back. We'll move the line.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Jeff, we're back on Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. Jeff, you are smarter than me, but I don't know if you have the answer to these questions. So here goes. I want to know, Cards versus Packers this Thursday, over under Rodgers pass yards versus Kyler pass yards. Should be a shootout on Thursday night.
I will go Rodgers more pass yards because I think they're more reliant on his arm than the Cardinals are with Kyler's arm. But I will say something to watch out for. Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry is on the COVID list. He's not going to be on the premises for the game. It's a big loss to not have your defensive coordinator on a short week. Now, he'll be able to Zoom and whatnot during the week, but against this defense, not having him there is a big loss for the Packers. So I'll go Rodgers here ever so slightly, but I think that I probably would have picked the Packers to win this game, but I'm not quite sure I do that anymore.
Okay, interesting. I like talking about the Cards D, and I like talking about the Cards D without saying the name J.J. Watt, because he always gets all the credit, and finally they're doing some good things, and it isn't always about him, until he made it about him. There's this video of him pacing up and down the sideline and screaming and cursing and making a scene. What do you know? Perfectly lit right in front of the NFL Films camera. Shocking that he figured that out. But to talk football for a second, instead of complaining about him being a showboat, I feel like they've figured something out moving him more towards the inside, right? And Chandler Jones is now going to be back. And like that defense is legit.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's been a lot better than I expected, but yeah, it's they're punk good football. They really are. Yeah, Watt managed to get in the camera. I saw that this past weekend.
Unbelievable.
You know, very quickly, this is, I think you come to this podcast to hear us, you know, talk about some X and O stuff. There was a play in that game yesterday, and this is something that you go back and find, but just you can just listen to me talk about it. So there's a lot of things that make a quarterback successful in the NFL, but it's little things that make even bad quarterbacks to be average quarterbacks. There was a play in that game where there was a wide receiver screen set. Houston had a third down. Wide receiver screen, great call. Arizona brought pressure, love screens against pressure. And Davis Mills had the wide receiver. All he do is throw the ball, his upfield shoulder. Wide receiver catches the ball, boom, first down. He throws the ball behind the wide receiver. He spins the other way, tackle for loss. It's like little plays like that. Most quarterbacks in the NFL can hit wide open guys on play action pass. It's like little plays like that. Now you had a first down and now you're punting. And all it was 1 foot of accuracy, right? Instead of one shoulder to the other shoulder. And guys like Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady, they're hitting the right shoulder on those screens. And he did not. And like things like that set quarterbacks apart. I just want to throw it in there because I think it's very important when you look at quarterbacks. It's like, it's a little, of course, the little margins, right, that make the difference.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did bring it up because that counts as a completion. And dum-dums like me, who are kind of watching the game with fantasy football or gambling in mind, don't understand the difference between one shoulder or the other in those moments. So I am glad you slowed us down to say that. Let me go back to Cooper Kupp. Over under 95% chance he was the first guy in the Rams practice facility today, and he'll be the last to leave.
100%.
This guy, as Julian Edelman put it, is gritty. And he has a high motor. When are we going to give Cooper Kupp the credit for being more than just like, you know, a little white guy who can run around?
I mean, he's getting it now, but we stereotype everybody. So the stereotype's never going to leave him.
I mean, we're just always talking about his football IQ or whatever. He's just obviously a very good player.
He's very good. Yeah. I remember in college.
This is the second, third quarterback. He's a good player.
He tore up Oregon in college. Whew. It was wild.
So what is it he doing? I mean, you just X's and O'd us.
I think he's a very good route runner. They set him up in the offense to do a lot of free releases, a lot of play action pass to get him on those crossing routes. And I think he's just a very defined route runner. He's very good at it, and that gets him very open.
It also seems like he must have some pretty good hands because I don't
everything.
See
yeah.
Cooper Kupp and drop catches ever,
everything.
Really.
Agreed. Yeah, good football player.
Yeah, And then Woods is pretty good. Higbee's turning into one of the better tight ends out there. They always have a running back or two. And Stafford obviously is better than Goff. Like, I just wonder if their offense is so fast and so powerful that like a maybe slightly older defense, I don't know. Like, are they gonna wear out their own defense? Is that a thing?
Not when you're scoring too many points, it's never a thing. When you're not scoring points, then you can wear your defense out. But never when you're scoring enough points. No, that's not a problem.
Okay. All right, next up. Over under 1.5 weeks until Deshaun Watson is traded.
Oh, man. This one's interesting. So it seems like the Panthers and Dolphins are most interested. The problem is the Dolphins have no first-round draft picks. It's the Eagles' draft pick this year. So they're going to have to do, they were talking about a three-team trade, right? Where, you know, they give Tua someone, they get a first-round pick back, send that back to Houston. I think it's the Panthers right now are bust. The Panthers have a first-round draft pick. They have an owner who's very aggressive and willing to go get Deshaun Watson. But the issue continues to be the allegation of sexual assault, right? And inappropriate, you know, behavior. And these are not allegations that are criminal, right? They're civil. They're in the civil lawsuits. There's no criminal charges. And he's not even on any list. The Texans are not playing him. He's not on a suspension list, not on the non-football injury list. He's on none of that. So if you trade for him, and his status changes to where he is now suspended or in the NFL, then you've obviously wasted a portion of that draft pick you've given up. But if the Panthers say, hey, look, this year is a wash. We just want Deshaun Watson in the building. We'll worry about playing him next year. Okay, fair, right? They're not winning. They're not making the playoffs this year. But if that's if that's the mindset and you feel comfortable that he will not be suspended next year, then make the trade. But if you have any doubts that he can play next season because he'll be suspended, then you just can't do it. But again, the civil lawsuits, they take years. Like there's no guarantee that this will be solved within the next 365 days and they'll be the same spot next year. So you have to go for, if you're the Panthers now, and get him in your building and maybe worry about the consequences of him being suspended later.
Yeah. Well, obviously every ownership group is going to evaluate, you know, the hit their team can take from a PR perspective now or when other stuff comes out. That's a factor. We can't be naive in thinking that just some teams will just say simply we can't bother. We can't try. Even if we think he would be a good fit, even if we believe he's a good guy and he did nothing wrong. Let's say some team thinks that, they just can't put that out there in the world. So we'll see. All right. I read this rumor and I kind of had to read this twice. I waited a couple weeks ago when I saw this, it came up again. So I'll ask it. I can't believe this is a serious question. The chances Mike Tomlin coaches at USC next year. I'm setting it at over under 1% chance, and I think that's high, but maybe you'll say different.
Yeah, Carson Palmer said this again on Dan Patrick's show today. I think there's no chance he's a coach, but I think he'd be a pretty interesting college coach. I'd be for watching him at USC in the Pac-12 conference, but there's no way he leaves Pittsburgh all the way for the West Coast. He had no ties to USC. There's nothing there. He's not doing that.
He's also like the best, most underrated for sure, and arguably the best coach of the last 15 years in the NFL.
He's not the best, but he's been very good.
I said arguably. I mean, he's never had a losing season.
I'm not sure there's an argument. I mean, Belichick and Andy Reid are better than him.
They have won more titles than he has, but Mike Tomlin never loses. And even this year, when we buried them, they're probably going to come out just ahead of 500 if you look down the road. Mike Tomlin is a very good coach on a team that has a history of winning. I don't see why on earth he would ever leave. I'd love it if he came to USC as a USC fan. That'd be amazing. I don't understand why Carson Palmer's putting this out here.
Well, that's why I don't think he's going there. I just think he's heard this from USC people, and maybe they have the same agent. He's just pumping his boy up. I don't know why.
It's a really weird one. All right. Who knows who's listening to him? Here's a guess on who might listen to this podcast, Jeff. And this is a great honor. I would like to know, over under 2% chance, Larry David listened to our show a couple weeks ago and then came up with this bit.
Why are kickers, okay, who have, they don't have football skills. They're not football players. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're wonderful people, but they're not football players. Why are they kicking a ball through goalposts to decide games? It doesn't make any sense at all. First of all, goalposts are a relic from the old English rugby, I think.
Okay.
You know, when they used to actually run and kick a ball through goalposts. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that in the NFL. There's no need for goalposts.
Okay. He said it better than I ever could. That's my take made funny by my comedy god, Jeff. Respond to Larry David.
It was really funny. Then he went on to, do we have the frog part? It's the audio too.
we also have that. He kept building on this bit.
Just play the audio again, please. Just continue to go.
What? Wouldn't the game be better without him? Think about it. Why not just have leaping frogs to decide games? See if a frog can leap through a little goalpost that you set up, okay, on the floor. And if the frog can leap through the goalpost, Then do that. What? Why kick it through a goalpost?
Well, it's not called leaping frog ball. It's called football. Yes, so you're saying take the feet out of footballs? Is that what you're saying, Larry? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Why? Feet are deciding games, and they shouldn't. Why should one player with this skill, like the guy on the Ravens?
Mm-hmm. Justin Tucker, yeah.
Why should this one player who does nothing but kick a ball be deciding games when you have... how many people on a football team?
11 or 53, 53 men roster.
When you have 52 other players who are actually playing and this one person, this 53rd person is deciding games, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Oh, dude, the frog thing has me in tears. I've seen that before and it is, oh my God. Well, you've a partner, you've an ally in this fight to eliminate kickers. He said it better than you did, right? I mean,
much better.
Look, frogs jumping into goalposts would definitely be viral. I'll tell you that. I don't even know what to say. I love Larry so much. Like I said, the new Curb, man. Everything in the Curb, the stuff that I find the funniest are the ordinary. I know he does, obviously, this part of the show, like the ordinary stuff that happens that you're like, oh yeah, I don't have a fence around my pool either. I'm not ruining much of anything. But like, do you watch Curb yet? Okay.
I'm saving this for a moment.
Yeah, but there's a thing about a fence in a pool. It's like, oh, I exactly know this conversation I could have in my house. And like just the stuff that happened, and so good. He makes a great point, right? You know, screw kickers, right? Get him out of here.
Okay, so I don't need to keep beating this point to death. I borrowed the take from someone else. Now Larry David listened to our podcast and made it twice as good a point. This is catching on. I think this is the beginning of the movement. I'm going to reach out to Larry some way, somehow, and bond over this. And we're going to eventually eradicate kicking with his help, with his leadership. Not me. It's not going to happen with me, but it's going to happen with Larry. My wife, by the way, who you've met and enjoyed, my wife said to me after watching the first season or two of Curb, she looked over at me at one point and just goes, oh my God, I married Larry David. I said, I thank you. I take that as a huge compliment.
I would be so happy my wife said that to me. It's just like the way that the ordinary stuff that he complains about in the show is all the same stuff that we complain about. And like the way he makes it funny and the way he makes it just, it's the best. So yeah, it's a great show. I'm glad it's back. The Lin-Manuel Miranda season was kind of odd, but otherwise I think they made up the difference last year, from that bad, but it's back. I'm glad Larry David, I like that he's a sports fan. Like he's one of those celebrities who actually knows sports. A lot of celebrities sort of just go to games and don't really know sports. He knows football. He's a football fan.
He's a Jets fan, and he also is a Kings fan, a legit Kings fan. He pays attention. I mean, he's obviously a baseball fan. He pays attention. He can talk sports with the best of them. You know, maybe one day, Jeff, I'll just sub out, and Larry David can come on here and co-host with you. I have problems right now, Jeff. Let's spend one more minute on this. I finished Squid Game. Obviously, we're not in the spoiler business. I know you did too. I think people have another week or two to try to catch up and finish before we talk about it.
It's like 50 minutes in the podcast. We're going to talk about Squid Game. If you like to turn the podcast off, you may do so. It's your discretion.
Yeah.
Please, by the way, leave a rating before you leave. 5 stars preferably. But now go ahead with your Squid Talk game. Squid Game talk.
Well, here's my biggest question is, so were you just assuming season two is him like doing like a Liam Neeson Taken bit? Like he's going trying to end it from the inside?
The other assumption is that the old man is his dad and he's going to pass the game on to him in the end. I've heard that take as well.
Is the main guy's dad?
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that?
No.
What's that based on?
Just internet rumors. That's it.
Huh.
In the end, he's going to actually find like the main character will find out that he like ends up loving being in charge of the games or something like that.
I see. Yeah. So he will do the same thing that the main guy. How
surprised were you when you saw the old man at the end?
Fairly surprised, but not blown away. Like, how did that happen? I think what this show does very, very well. Again, spoilers all over the place here. Sorry, everyone. What I thought was interesting. I'm curious your take. Were all the the body parts being sold to China and the brother versus brother, all of that was just misdirect, right?
Yes.
Like that was just to confuse you and keep you away from the surprises that mattered.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, because I thought at the end, I thought of myself like that. None of that mattered.
No, and it doesn't really conclude. I mean, maybe if there's a season two or three, like maybe we'll come back to it. But it felt like all it was doing was trying to confuse us and get us off the scent of who is the host and what's going on.
I think it tried to get us to be like, there's other things happening here that are nefarious when there wasn't. It was the host and the old white men paying for the whole experience. That was who the villains were, not the people selling selling the body parts or the brother trying to get on board. I'm not even sure that I don't think he even shot the brother to kill him. I think he fell off. I don't think he was trying to kill him. He shot him in the shoulder too. I don't think in the end, but isn't it wild? Like, I've never watched a show where I've been like, where some people have died, and I've just been like, all right, well, I guess that's what happens when you play the Squid Game. Like it desensitizes you to all the death that happened. I mean, 455 people. Now there's obviously staff members that die too.
And squids,
There's a lot of death in this show, and you're just like, whatevs, I guess it's part of the show.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Do you think you'd be better at betting on the Squid Game than you are at betting on the NFL?
Probably.
You think you can make some smarter picks?
I made some great picks in Pac-12, though, but no one gives a shit about my 15 straight Pac-12 correct picks. God, the NFL is 3 straight weeks of the public just cleaning up, dude. I don't know what to do. It's got to change at some point. But if we get to Seattle to cover tonight, we'll have a winning week. So we'll take that. We're 2-2 right now. And hope for better days. Hope for better days.
All right. Well, you get into it. You get your second chance. Another bite at the apple on Thursday with Matt doing some gambling, talking college ball. I am excited for Thursday night football. I think I might. Jeff, I was training for that mini triathlon all week. I ate well. I didn't drink. I think this week, F it. I'm going crazy. I'm going to get a few beers in me. Watch that Cards
Packers
game.
You spent one whole week training for the tries? Is that what you just said?
No, one whole week being super healthy. Oh, okay. I stay in shape in general. This was clean living.
Okay, perfect.
So this week, game off. I'm going to eat and drink what I want.
Love it. Go ahead and do that. Yeah. All right, guys, appreciate you joining us. As usual, we're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. Please rate, review, subscribe, leave some questions. We'll answer them on Thursday's episode with Matt. Have a great couple of days. Enjoy the football. Talk to you guys on Thursday.